And now we have with us Mary Barstow, Associate Publisher of Maine Seniors Magazine, and I think she's going to share with us a little bit of story about upcoming prime movers and people of interest in the Maine Seniors Magazine. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Hi, thanks, David. I'm glad to be with you. Thanks for doing such a great show. Everybody seems really, really thrilled with it, so good job.
Well, thank you. So you might give us, you can share with us some stories of the past, but maybe even a glimpse of the future as to what people might be able to see in the new and upcoming Maine Seniors Magazine issues. Am I right?
Yes, I'm going to tell you, we certainly have some incredible issues coming up. And we have a section in Maine Seniors Magazine called Wicked Memories. And many people say, well, what do these people have to do with Maine? Well, it's all about movie stars and things as young children that we were very familiar with. You know, I did Leave It to Beaver, Jerry Mathers, and had a wonderful conversation with him and about his life. And that's in this month's Maine Seniors. And then in July, we have Diane McBain. And some may not remember her, but she was Elvis's sidekick in all his beach bingo movies and whatnot. So she was extraordinarily interesting, and she has a very difficult time through her life. She was brutally, brutally raped, and she came back from that, and she has several good books about it. And so she was extraordinarily interesting. But some of the good things we have is Burns in Maine, and we have a gentleman named Eric Schultz, who interviews a man who won, I guess Maine has become one of the famous bird places in the world, and he won all kinds of awards for the birds in Maine. So we're going to have that story as well. So we got a lot of things coming up and interesting stories, but it's fun to talk to all these people. They're pretty amazing people. And then, of course, we have Linda Greenlaw coming up as well. And she was the Perfect Storm girl who went on to sell many best-selling books. I'm sure you're familiar with her.
Well, Mary, when you said Wicked Memories at first, I mean, this is so Maine-like because, you know, I used to have people correct me on that. They don't understand. In Maine, when we say wicked, we mean wicked good. And
that's wicked good, for sure.
oh, that's right. And so, you know, when you say we got some wicked memories, I mean, those are wicked good ones. And but am I right that, am I going back too far, but didn't you do something on Lassie?
I did. Timmy. Everybody remembers him as Timmy from Lassie.
Right.
And I had a wonderful conversation with him. All these childhood stars that we grew up with, like Leave It to Beaver and Timmy from Lassie, and I did Laverne and Shirley. I did Shirley and all these wonderful characters that were so much part of our lives, you know, growing up in the 60s and the 70s.
Tell me a little bit about the Laverne and Shirley, because I remember watching that often, and I don't think I really knew anything about the individual actresses.
Shirley was just, you know, she was probably one of the best conversations I've had, seriously. She was so entertaining and such a good person. She told the story how she ended up with the show. They had friends, and the show was really about the two girls that were living together in their lives, and they said, gee, we should make a show about that. And that's how the show became to be Laverne and Shirley. It was really based on a true story of two girls living together and working in a factory and all the fun things that happened.
Oh, I never knew that it was an actual true story.
Yeah, it was actually a true story, and their lives, you know, she went on to do a lot of movies and a lot of TV spots. And she actually has come to Maine a couple of times and worked on stage at some of the theaters in Maine. Of course, last year was a tough year. She didn't come because everything was closed down, but she hopes to come again. And she was great. She was just great. And, you know, I've been fortunate. Bobby Rydell, I did. We talked about American Bandstand. And what's really interesting about Bobby Rydell was that he you know, did a lot of performing in Vietnam. And then he was best friends with Frankie Avalon and Dion, and they were all, they actually, in Philadelphia, stood on the street corners singing outside of a burning trash can. Those were all true stories. They really knew each other. They were all very close. And Fabian and Frankie Avalon and Bobby. And I have coming up Frankie Avalon as well.
Did they all get together and do a smaller group? They were like,
they did. What they do, they actually today still perform together. They do different shows all over the country.
Yeah.
And they have a show where, you know, you get to listen to all their number one hits. And they were just amazing, really.
Is it the Golden Boys?
Yeah, I do think you're right. I think it is like the Golden Boys.
My sister had gone to conference out in Hawaii.
Have you been to this show or what? Have you been to this show? You said in Hawaii?
My sister had gone to her husband's conference, and they hired them to come in and perform for all the, it was Union Mutual at the time, for all the employees that were out there for the conference. And they had hired, and I thought she'd said it was the Golden Boys. When you said Frankie Avalon, it started to ring a bell. And I thought, I think they came together and have a group that still performs.
They do. They perform separately, but they perform together as well.
Yes.
And what is interesting is what you exactly say. You can hire them. You can actually, if you had a private party and you're willing to bring them in for really not a lot of money, you know, you can have them at your private party. They'll speak at it or they'll sing. It's amazing, really.
Thank you, Mary, associate publisher of Maine Seniors Magazine, for joining us today. If it is true that laughter is the best medicine, then, wow, we've got the medicine man coming on now, Maine humorist Gary Crocker. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Well, good to be here, and good to be anywhere, actually, at my advanced age. My Uncle Willie is, he's an entrepreneur, and you know what that is. And he had a regular job, too, but he was selling antiques on Route 1. For years, because, you know, Route 1's on fire. I mean, that Route 1 is an economic powerhouse for the state of Maine. People in Massachusetts, it's their job to go away in the wintertime, earn all the money they can, bring it back, give it to us on Route 1. Primarily, it's a hotbed of business activity. And anyway, Willie knew that. So he was driving down there this one weekend with a antique truck loaded with antique furniture. It wasn't actually antique, it was stressed furniture. He had bought some furniture at one of them low-end furniture places and hit it with a chain 4 or 5 hours. It softened it up, made it look like antiques, and so it's called stressed furniture. Anyway, he was on the way to Route 1, and he wasn't paying attention, which is what Willie does mostly, and they come whistling through this intersection. No sign, no intersection signs, no stop sign, a yield sign, nothing. No indication. He come whistling through without paying attention, and a fellow from Massachusetts, apparently, come whistling through in the other direction and slammed right into the side of him. Oh, stove his truck up, drove him right into the ditch. And the fellow's car was all stove up, too. It was a Cadillac. It was one of them big high-priced cars. Anyway, both drivers were unhurt, and they bailed out their cars, come running around the car, and met each other halfway around. The fellow from Massachusetts was on fire. He goes, oh, I can't wait. You people in Maine, you don't pay attention to nothing. You went whistling through that intersection. I clearly had the right of way, and I just can't understand how you people behave up here. Oh, he was just beside himself, screaming and hollering and jumping up and down, and Willie just stood there calmly waiting for him to stop. Fella finally ran out of steam and leaned against his car, take a breath, and Willie said, there. Now listen, you're in the state of Maine now. We don't scream and holler, and we don't get on each other's nerves. We work together, solve problems, he said. So let's give this some thought. He said, let's have a drink and talk about it. So he went to his truck and pulled open the glove box and pulled out a brand new fresh bottle of Four Roses, the best bulls money will buy, and walked over to the fella and uncocked it. Had the fella, took a little draw off it. Well, he said, oh, have a nice long draw. I'm a generous fella. Fella took a nice long draw off that Four Roses bottle and handed it to Willie. Willie put the top on, starters for his truck. Fella said, hey, ain't you going to ever drink with me? Willie said, no, I'm going to wait for the state police to get here. Now, that's what you call entrepreneur. That's doing business right there, mister.
Our next guest is the epitome of senior power. Anthony Tony Giaruta was born on August 20, 1942 in New Bedford, Mass. For those of you who can do the math, that means this August he will turn 79 years old. Again, the epitome of senior power. Tony was a first-generation Portuguese immigrant to Anthony Flyer and Madeline Santos Arruda. His father owned and operated a taxi business south of Boston for many years. This is where Tony learned his business ethics. In fact, he's always proud to say that he did learn his business ethics from his dad. He attended Burdett College in Boston and had to go back to work immediately for the family taxi business until illness forced his father to give it up. Tony served in the Coast Guard Reserves, had an extensive business background, mostly with retail marketing and sales. Then in 1992, he received his insurance licenses, where he specialized in health insurance and worked with mostly seniors. As a Maine senior himself, he realized that the Medicare programs are difficult to navigate, and the various Medicare health plans are numerous and add to the complexities. Given the many complexities in Medicare, Tony opened the Senior Planning Center in Farmington, Maine in 2012. In founding the Senior Planning Center, he made sure his firm would represent all the major Medicare health plans: Martins Point, WellCare, United Healthcare, Anthem, Aetna, Humana, Harvard Pilgrim, and he did so that his firm would work for the clients, not for any one insurance company. When Tony's at the Senior Planning Center assisting seniors, he takes on projects that pay nothing but the currency of good karma. Currently, the Senior Planning Center has 6 locations: Farmington, Rumford, Skowhegan, Sanford, Belfast, and Presque Isle, and agents are all over Maine. Today, Senior Planning Center is truly Maine's leading senior resource. Tony, welcome to Senior Power.
Oh, thank you, David. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, I gave people this background so that they might have a sort of a general understanding of the fact that you could have done anything in your life career-wise, but once you did get your insurance licenses, specializing in health insurance, and recognizing while working with seniors how complex Medicare was, you sort of, at that point, saw a mission. And I'd like you, if you will, to sort of elaborate on that.
Oh, well, David, what happened also, too, is I was approaching the age of Medicare also, and here I was in the insurance business, selling all types of insurance, but kind of specializing in the seniors. And what I realized was the development of Medicare Advantage programs, the prescription drug programs. The government itself was going more and more in instituting managed care types of programs, those what you call private fee-for-service. Those were PPOs, preferred provider organizations, HMOs, which is a health maintenance organization. And in itself was becoming very confusing. That was one of the big words. And when I was dealing with people like myself entering into Medicare, or understanding it, is they were totally confused, because now what was happening in the introduction of this 10, 11 years ago was the fact that there were more and more options that people had, and they were just actually confused as to what avenue they should take. So what I realized very quickly is, in the business, that these people need an assistance in helping to, I'll use the terminology, educate or assisting them in understanding what was going on, what was the best choice for an individual to take. Notwithstanding the fact that a lot of them making maybe an incorrect approach and it would start spending a lot more money than they required, or they got into a program or something that required them to be in Florida and they couldn't get coverage in Florida because, let's say it was part of a network program and there wasn't facilities that they could go to, let's say in Florida or any other state. So what I found was that there was a niche for me, starting off in, believe it or not, Stratton, Maine, in the Western Mountains there, small community, and actually just started developing this. And I used the philosophy that people needed the help, and I was there to help. I was always of the authority, if you do a good job, it will be rewarding to you. And whereas as an agent and developing what I was doing there, I was helping people, the companies that we provide the service for, and the companies that we write the programs for, they were paying me. So this is a win-win situation. It was a win for me, but the biggest thing, it was a win for the clients because I was helping them. They weren't paying for my service, but I was benefiting by it. So one thing led to another, and we moved, and I started individually. I moved the operation into Farmington because it was an easier, as far as having a facility and the agents. Our concept is still, and has been to this day, that we're out there to help people, and helping people is the name of the game in fulfilling their need and helping them to go through this maze of programs that are available out there for these individuals. So it's a pretty simple approach, David.
But, well, you call it...
It seems to work.
You call it simple, and yet, Tony, you actually increased your own challenges by having to learn not only all the different Medicare health plans that were available out there by all the major Medicare health insurance carriers, but you also got involved in a lot of work, and I used your quote, the currency of good karma, whereby with lower income or moderate and lower income folks, which really consists of a good chunk of Maine seniors, you would help them qualify for Medicare Savings Program, that instead of them having to work directly with DHHS, which can be cumbersome and intimidating for many, that you made sure that you and the folks that work for you at the Senior Planning Center got, you know, rolled their sleeves up and really helped the clients. And I think that's going above and beyond. And again, I want to quote what you said, the currency of good karma. So what made you think that you should get involved in some of those things that really aren't a direct part of writing up a healthcare plan?
Well, David, basically, I say it's a simple approach. I looked at it based on myself and what I would be looking for as a person. I have a simple approach when I'm sitting with individuals right now. You go through your entire life working in a specific field, whether it be you're an electrician, a plumber, or a logger in the woods, or whatever the case is, and you work and you understand what you're doing, and you understand the lingo, you understand what it is, if it's required equipment, what the equipment is like, and everything else. Well, then people start reaching the age of 65, and they're facing something entirely new as far as they're concerned, because they haven't had the knowledge of understanding what is out there and what your choices are. And within our organization, what we've tried to do is I try to bring in people who are very knowledgeable by specific areas also. So we feed off of everybody pertaining to it. So by doing this, we have experts, when I say that, just work with these Medicare savings programs for the state, and how they adjust it, and what are the qualifications, and every year how they change those qualifications. So it is very important that we stay up to date.
Well, and we're happy to have had you on Senior Power Radio, Tony. Thank you so much for joining us today again, Tony Arruda, the founder of the Senior Planning Center. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, David.
David, did you know each year over 1,300 women gather in South Portland to swim, bike, and run in the Maine Cancer Foundation's Try for a Cure? It's Maine's only all-women's triathlon.
Wow.
Yeah, and thanks to the efforts of thousands of supporters, the Try for the Cure has actually raised more than $16 million, all which stays in the state of Maine.
That is unbelievable. All for the Maine Cancer Foundation.
That's correct. And I have an athlete here who knows more about it than I do. So let me introduce to you Roxana Brophy-Sear.
Thank you. Triathlons can be very, very competitive, and this one can be as well. But I've never been involved in anything in the competitive world where there's so much camaraderie. You know, people go by me on the bike and say, come on, you can do it. And I go by people on the bike and say, I'm going slow, so you can catch up with me. Or, you know, it's just always just people talking to each other and rooting them on. And that's another amazing aspect of it, that not the fact that it's just women, but the fact that it's just women makes it kind of a friendship thing, too. And you meet some amazing people.
Have you participated with anybody older than you that's been inspiring?
That's a great question. I have, Lynanne. There's two people that participate in the Try for a Cure. One of them only does, I think she only does the bike now. And for several years, she has been the oldest participant. She's 80-something. I think she's 82.
Wow.
Something like that. And then there's another lady that I know named Liz, who actually goes to my church. And she is already in her 80s and wants to participate when she's 90 years old. So that's her goal. And, you know, people like that amaze me. I say to myself, I've said this for many years, because my wife, who is my greatest fundraiser, she does an amazing job fundraising for me. Every year she says, you're gonna do it again? And I say, yes, I'm gonna do it till I can't do it anymore. It's too good a thing not to do it.
Well, it's awe-inspiring, Roxana.
And that truly is senior power, and driven by your passion in others. My guess is that Try for a Cure is going to continue to be one of the leading fundraisers for the Maine Cancer Foundation. And I really applaud you. And back to that, your times may have not been quite as great in recent years. I just got to share with you, I mean, seriously, I worry sometimes about the younger generations, because I'm not sure most of them could complete even a part of some of this. And it is really, I think, an inspiration, as you suggested, to see people do this, because indeed you're role models for future generations. And as people like yourself and the 82-year-old, et cetera, as they keep doing this, people have to stop and take notice and say, wow, if they can do it, I can do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. That's very nice. That's very kind.
Oh, and tell us, I hear you have special awards, Roxana, for some very special athletes.
I do, Lynn. So there have been up to 15 family members and a couple of friends along with those family members who have competed each year a lot. So what we generally do is the night before the triathlon, we get together for maybe a spaghetti dinner or something like that. And everybody gets, well, not everybody, but some of the people get little awards. And I always give an award for the I don't know. I don't really remember exactly what I call it, but it's the funniest funniest award. The one that made me, the person who made me laugh the most during that year. So I'll just give you an example of two of those. One year, my sister, who's 2 years younger than I am and also always competes, one year we were just doing some training, riding our bikes, and she wears bike gloves, and I don't. And she was telling me how nice they are and how they help your hands, and they don't ever, you know, your hands don't ever hurt when you wear these bike gloves. And I looked at her hands, and she had her gloves on backwards so that the padded part was on the back of her hands, and the leather part was on the front of her hand. So there was no padding at all in what she was doing. So she got the award that year for, I don't know if it's greatest athlete or what, but she got the award that year. And then I have to tell you, Lynn-Ann, that you know this, but you got the award one year.
Yes, I did.
And yes, you did. And it was when we were doing a practice swim. We were down at Bug Light, which is where the swim takes place. And we were doing a practice swim. I think there were maybe 5 or 6 of us down there that morning. And, of course, we wear wetsuits when we're doing the swim because we're in the Casco Bay and it's not warm.
No.
And so we were all getting in our wetsuits, and I looked over at Lynn, and I said, Lynn, where did you get a wetsuit that zips up the front? I said, I need to get a wetsuit that zips up the front like that because it's so hard to get your suit zipped from the back. You always have to get somebody to try to help you. And she looked down, and she said, oh, my God, I have my wetsuit on backwards. And so that year, Lynn-Ann got the award.
And I have to tell you, the awards are handcrafted by Roxana. She's an excellent craftsperson, an amazing artist, and it really was. It was a beautiful gift for the so-called, I had called it a booby prize earlier because I couldn't think of what you do when you goof up like that. But anyway, they were very lovely gifts, Roxana, and thank you for sharing
that story
with us.
Well, it's really fun to laugh.
And when is it happening, Roxana? What's the date for it?
The date this year is July. I believe it starts on, because it's virtual, so there's not one day. There's a 2-week span that you have to complete your triathlon in, and I believe it's July 13th to the 26th.
Okay. And is it, and where do people go to donate if they just want to make a donation?
You can go to the webpage, the Try for a Cure webpage.
Okay.
And if people would like to make a donation to a specific person, they go to the webpage and they type in that person's name.
Excellent.
And that person's name comes up, and they would be able to donate then directly to them.
Well, Roxana, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for asking me. I'm honored.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Senior Power.
My insurance kept going up and up and up and up.
I was getting a lot of mail about Medicare.
I could never have navigated through the loopholes.
Mainers across the state are finding help at Senior Planning Center, which represents all major Medicare health plans.
Senior Planning Center was a lifesaver.
Senior Planning Center did it all.
Gave me all my options and signed me up with what I needed within an hour.
Call 223-6565. 223-6565. Help when it matters most. Senior Planning Center.com.